Hello.
Hello. Salud. Hello. Hi, Duke. Because
you ruined it.
Does that ring a bell?
Nice. It does ring a bell. I tried interrupting you and telling you we should turn this into a video that people can watch. You can see me dancing.
Who's going to watch it?
Probably our 8 listeners would watch it.
You already can't get people to press play on a thing. They're not going to press play on a video. Come on now.
I don't know. You can put a link right in front of them and hit play. I don't know.
Dude, do you know how many years it's been since that trip? It's been, oh my God.
17? 16?
Yeah. Yeah, 16, I think.
That's crazy.
Isn't it?
We're old.
We are definitely old.
But we are talking about sports, and that's cool.
That is.
We're talking about football in April.
Yes, I mean, you know, I think there's a lot to talk about in the NFL, both for, you know, NFL purposes and, you know, obviously for fantasy purposes. There's been a lot of stuff has gone down.
Let's dive into it.
All right. What do you think has been the most impactful offseason move that happened?
The Bears signing Andy Dalton. No, am I wrong?
I was going to go with the Bears signing Damian Williams.
Oh, come on. He's just basically going to spell Montgomery.
Oh, man.
And then sprinkle in some Cohen, and when he gets back, and you have no fantasy value on the Bears' backfield.
We'll get to the Bears set, but honestly, what do you think has been the most impactful one out of everything that's out there?
Fitzpatrick? Stafford? I don't know. I think Stafford, probably.
I think Stafford. I think Stafford
deserves. I think he can probably do a better job of what Goff did, and they still had, you know, Woods and Kupp and, you know, 3 viable wide receivers. Who's the third one? I guess they're tight ends. But, I mean, those guys are going to be pretty rock solid with
– Well, I think their third one used to be Josh Reynolds, but if I remember correctly, I think he's gone. So I think it's I think Van Jefferson, I think.
Okay, you still got those top tier guys, and the tight ends were making a name for themselves, and I think Stafford's definitely gonna keep those guys.
I think the quarterback was the one position that was holding that team back. Honestly, like their defense. You know, it's not that, you know, I mean, they're not the fantasy, Titan that they were a couple of years ago, but as an NFL defense, like, they have all the pieces in place.
It's like the Bucks. The Bucks had the defense, kind of, and they got the quarterback, and look what happened.
So, you know, the offense has transformed from when they were in the Super Bowl. Before, when they were in the Super Bowl, it was everything ran through Gurley and the running game. And, you know, that opened up lanes for Goff to look like a superstar that one season. And then and the injury might still be out on how good he really is because I don't know. But anyway, he's not as good as – I don't think he's as good as he was that season. I think the circumstances allowed for him to put up those big numbers. But now the running game, you know, I think it's, you know, they have, who was the rookie that exploded towards the end?
Cam Akers.
Cam Akers, yeah. So he looks like potential, but I think that, you know, Stafford is stepping above over Goff, and you have 2 solid receivers in Woods and Kupp. And, you know, Stafford, you know, yeah, he had a lot of years with Calvin Johnson where he put up great numbers, but don't sleep on him. He put up great numbers without Calvin Johnson, with not that much around him.
He's also always had a bad defense on the Lions and with the Rams. Who knows? Because he would always kind of fill up the stat sheet late in the second half. If the Rams are defense is as good as you're claiming they are, then they're going to have games where they win 16-9, and he's not. All he needs to do is get a first down. You know, he doesn't need to have a comeback drive. So just putting that out there.
That's fine, but I'm just talking. I'm talking more from just NFL versus fantasy right now. But as far as he's still, I think he's an elite quarterback. He's not. He's someone you can trust with the ball. He's not like turnover prone. He's able to sling it, but he's never had the opportunity to play for a winning team. And I think this kind of pulls the Rams as my favorite in the NFC to go to the Super Bowl. That's my personal opinion.
Hard to argue against it, and easy to argue, for that. So I can't knock you there for that opinion.
And I agree. You know what? Is he going to put up? I mean, he's been hit or miss over the past few years. He was right up there in top 10 when Calvin Johnson was on the team, and the Detroit has been just a dumpster fire really since Calvin left. But yeah, I agree. He might not be a fantasy superstar. I don't think he's a top 10 quarterback right now. I think he's got potential, but because of the reason you just said, he doesn't need to air it out anymore. So I agree with that assessment.
Right. And then Goff, Detroit lost Galladay, they lost Marvin Jones, they downgraded Goff. So Detroit is going to be the one silver lining on this offseason for the Bears, because they probably won't come in last place.
It's weird. It's like kind of a rebuild. Like, you got to feel for Goff a little bit. Like they got rid of their top two receivers that are in Detroit. They bring in, Tyrell Williams, who didn't play last year. And I don't know who else he's going to throw the ball to. So Goff, it went from a great situation to a terrible situation. So he's going to be garbage. They did sign Jamal Williams, so they have two capable running backs on that team, but I don't know where they're going. They're going nowhere.
Good.
I'll stay far from anyone on Detroit.
Other big quarterback signings, I kind of threw out Fitzpatrick just because it kind of makes the Washington football team exciting. I agree.
You know what? There's one thing that has been pretty consistent with Fitzpatrick's career is that the first season that he's in with a team, he has a pretty good year. I don't know what it is. He doesn't have longevity ever. That's why he's this journeyman. Like he has like a good year, then he flops, then he goes to another team. Then like sometimes he's there as a starter, sometimes he's there as a backup, but he gets put in and he does Fitz magic, and then he starts playing again. So I think Washington's going to be very exciting. You know, they also got another receiver to pair with McLaurin, with Curtis Samuel, who likes to stretch the field as well. So
yeah, and he's reunited with Rivera. I think that's a good fit for Fitzpatrick's gunslinger mentality and him being able to get down the field for sure.
Yeah, I think and then they got a promising rookie running back with Gibson. I have not been excited about a single Washington player since the days of RG3 and Deshaun Jackson and Pierre Garçon. But this year, I would not shy away from them, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to follow that storyline.
Depending on what Washington does in the draft, because clearly like Fitzpatrick is not the name future. They do have Kyle Allen, I think, is still there. Or no, not Kyle. Taylor
Heinicke.
Yeah. So yeah, we'll see what they plan to do with the future. But if Fitzpatrick is the starter all season, I would go out and say that he has more fantasy points than Stafford.
Has Fitzpatrick played in the playoffs?
What?
Has Fitzpatrick played in the playoffs?
NFL playoffs?
Yes.
I don't believe so.
No, I don't think so either. So that'll be interesting if he can lead this team. I mean, the NFC East isn't, owned by any one team. It's kind of a hodgepodge of whoever gets hot during the year going into it. That'd be interesting to see if he can lead them to the playoffs.
That's true.
Other quarterbacks that moved around, do you want to touch on anyone?
Yeah, there's actually someone that I left off the list I sent you, which is another big deal, which is Goff's counterpart in the draft is Carson Wentz going to Indy.
Yeah, Colts. I think a change of scenery is probably good for him. I think he could come out and be, you know, the Wentz of old. But then I can see him kind of wearing out his welcome there, and too many turnovers, and his style of play just, I feel like, isn't going to be, I'm a loss for words here, but it's going to wear out his welcome. I feel like he can get off to a hot start, but I don't see him being, you know, the future for them. I can see them being searching for a quarterback in a couple of years after they give him a couple of tries, a couple of years.
I disagree. I think you're pairing him up with the head coach. Frank Reich used to be the quarterback coach in Philly when Carson Wentz had his best years. Reich, I don't think it's any secret that Reich wanted Wentz. I think everyone knew that as soon as Rivers retired, that's where he was going to end up. I think he knows how to coach Wentz. I think he can get I think he can coach him up. I think that because they are, I think he's done a great job coaching that Colts team. I think they have a great run game. They have a good defense. I don't think that I really feel like Wentz felt like he had to do everything for Philadelphia this year, because that team has just been going downhill. Like, I don't think anyone's even left on that team from the Super Bowl get days. I think every single player who was on that is gone.
I think his problem is that his style of play, he always tries to get the extra yard. He gets hurt, and I just don't think that he's like quarterback.
But no one was – go back to the Super Bowl season when before he got hurt. Like, no one was complaining about his style of play then. That was a year where they had a lot of talent. Everybody was healthy. And, yeah, he would go the extra mile, but he didn't feel like the pressure was to carry that team. I think he felt like he had to carry this team this year, and he had to do everything in his power to try to will them through it. So I think he will return to top form. I think he'll be a top five fantasy QB this season. That's my belief.
A top five?
Top five fantasy QB. Yes, I do.
I think he could be a top five fantasy QB for a certain time frame of the season, and I'm leaning towards being the beginning of the season. But I mean, he's dealt with injuries his whole career in North Dakota. He's getting older. He's going to continue playing that same style. You can't change the way. And that's why what Frank Wright, reunited with him, is good, because that style of play with Frank Wright could be good, but it's going to take a couple of reckless plays where he's trying to get the extra yard. And I think with his injury history, I could see him. Like I said, I think he's got the potential, the ceiling's there, but I think too many factors of – I just don't think he is like that top tier quarterback. I think he's going to show flashes of the next season, but it's not going to be for a full, you know, length of a season.
We'll see.
But yeah, we will see. And now we'll talk about the lower end quarterbacks that moved around. Anyone you want to touch on?
Before we do that, what's going to go on in New Orleans, you think? Who's going to start? What are they going to do there?
I think it's going to be Taysom Hill's team, and like it's the same thing. It's that style of quarterback where he's probably not going to be able to play 16 games, and Jameis Winston will get some to start.
It's interesting though, because they are the polar opposites that what you get with a quarterback, and I feel like, I don't know. I mean, if any coach can run that, as far as, you know, you're basically having more of a wildcat formation, I feel like, with Taysom Hill. Versus Jameis Winston is your classic pocket passer, but obviously needs to work on turnovers. To flip-flop back and forth between that from game to game or drive to drive just seems like it's really hard for you to get in a group. But if one coach can do it, it's Sean Payton.
Yeah, I wasn't saying drive to drive. I think I said
I didn't say you were, but I could see them doing that is what I'm saying.
Yeah, I don't see that happening. I see a Taysom Hill's team until he gets hurt. And then they have Jameis as a backup. That's my opinion of it.
Yeah, I think that's what they'll do. But you know, I think once you get enough game film on Taysom Hill, like it's, I feel like his career is mimicking Tim Tebow right now. That's what I feel. I think he's more athletic than Tim Tebow, and he's a better passer. But you know, he's not a true quarterback. Yeah, that's Jesus. Yeah. So we'll see. We'll see. But yeah. I don't know. I think it. I don't know. I also feel like, I don't know, this might be reading too much into it, but it feels like Drew Brees had a pretty big impact on Jameis Winston as a person. And that might let him get him to focus a little bit more. I mean, because Jameis Winston clearly has the talent. Like, you know, he had the most yards passing 2 years ago. He went from that to being a backup. So the talent is there. He's just got to get a better head on his shoulders when it comes to making decisions, which is teachable. So I have a feeling Jameis Winston has a resurrection of his career at some point in the next couple of years.
He's still got his window still open. I mean, he's still young enough, and yeah, he did take some just, you know, this past year to kind of maybe reflect on his.
I'll tell you this: I'd rather have Jameis as a quarterback than Dalton.
Yeah, I mean, there's pretty much anybody that I'd rather have.
Yeah, honestly. But you were about to mention another quarterback that I think.
Yeah, then there's the bottom tier: Tyrod to the Texans.
I think that is an underrated great move by the Texans. It's the one positive thing I'll say about the Texans the entire podcast. I think that is an underrated great move because and we can go back to the film about the film, the tape when I was talking about Tyrod Taylor this season back at the beginning when he got the bad luck of getting the punctured lung and losing his starting career. I still think he's a pretty good quarterback, and I think he's going to be the starter in Houston.
Yeah, I think he's kind of like a poor man's Watson. He can kind of do everything he can, but doesn't have like the national championship in college. And, but yeah, I think he can, be a startable quarterback. It's just a bad franchise playing for it. Kind of sucks.
Yeah. I mean, he's been given the short end. You know, he had a pretty decent career going in Buffalo. But they just couldn't get over the hump. And then, I forgot what happened. I think they drafted Josh Allen and then let him go or traded, or maybe they traded him to Cleveland and it just things didn't work out in Cleveland. And he ends up in San Diego, supposed to be the starter, and then bad luck happens there. The problem is that Houston has like no one to throw the ball to and nothing good going on there. So he's set up for failure there, unfortunately, but
right,
he'll get the opportunity.
And then Mitch is going to be a backup in Buffalo. I heard the other day that he preferred to go to Denver to compete for the starting job, and Denver didn't even want to bring him in to compete for a job.
Interesting. I think like
that would have been a better fit than, I mean, not a better fit, better opportunity for him to become a starter because he obviously is a backup to Josh Allen.
Interesting. I read an article months ago that he took less money to go to Buffalo. So it's a interesting thing that you read. Honestly, Do I think that Mitch is going to turn into like a top quarterback? No. Do I think that he's better than what happened in Chicago? Yes. I think he, if given the right opportunity, the right situation, he could turn into a starting quarterback for another team for sure. So I think he'll get another shot.
And the last one is the one that most recently Sam Darnold to the Panthers. And I feel like, this has like a fresh start, second chance written all over for him to succeed, but I'm still just having trouble seeing it. They have plenty of weapons out there with McCaffrey and DJ Moore and Robbie Anderson, but there's something about Art Darnold that just doesn't translate to it, like top tier quarterback to me.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, we also are biased by the fact that, besides Chicago, the other place where you want your quarterback career to die is in New York Jets. So yeah. There's an opportunity for him to shine. But I don't know what is going through Carolina's head right now. Like they're like constantly like trying to like upgrade their quarterback, but it's like the only team that like does worse about gauging talent as far as quarterback is Chicago. Like, you know, they went all out for Teddy Bridgewater and he didn't play terrible, but like, he didn't do good enough for them, but that's what you were getting with him, you know? Like, he's not going to be flashy. He's going to manage the game. He's not going to win you a game. Like, anyone could have told you that, and they were like, oh, this wasn't good enough. Well, he did exactly what he actually did better than I expected him to. So I don't know what they're looking for. So And I think it's going to be more of the same here with Darnold. So,
yeah. And like I said, it has, like you said, being able to get away from the Jets and Adam Gase, like that's like the best thing that possibly could happen from Darnold. But part of me thinks that it's Gase and Darnold that were the problem. So I don't know. I'm hesitant to be a believer in him yet, but I would like to see him succeed. I think there's talent, there's fantasy points to be gotten in Carolina. And if he's good, if he's successful, then more wealth all around.
I mean, the biggest beneficiary of this is going to be Christian McCaffrey, because Sam Darnold is just like a check down Charlie. That's why I was all over trying to get, I think I had Jamison Crowder in both of my leagues, because when Jamison was healthy, Sam Darnold just lit him up with targets 9-10 a game, because that's the guy that was a slot person going over the middle of the field. So I don't think they have a slot guy anymore. I don't know who the slot guy is in Carolina. I don't know if they have one. So I think it's just going to be checked down to McCaffrey.
A lot of that, a lot of short game to DJ Moore while Robbie Anderson stretches the field. So, all right, enough with the quarterbacks. We touched on a couple of the running backs in the NFC North. Anyone else that you want to start off with about maybe who you think is going to have the biggest impact? Because I'm looking at these names, there's none that really stand out to me.
Honestly, I think it's going to be Mike Davis in Atlanta. I think this is another underrated move. I think Mike Davis has been underrated his whole career. So I mean, it's going to be a committee there with probably Ito Smith and him.
Gurley's out?
Gurley is, I think he's a free agent right now. So.
Oh, he's not even signed. I thought he signed a 2-year deal with them.
I don't know, but they stopped playing him at the end of the season. Like he's not in their future. Well,
okay.
But I think Mike Davis has been underrated his entire career. Every time he's given an opportunity, he shines. He did great for Carolina. He's done great for San Francisco in the past. He did great for Seattle in the past. So I think Mike Davis is an underrated move in someone that will shine.
So he did a great job filling in last year for Chris McCaffrey. He was a solid RB2, RB1 each week. But does that translate over going to an Atlanta offense where the offense isn't centered around a running back? I mean, like, what's his best season can't be as good as it was last year, can it?
I mean, it wasn't centered around a running back last year because they didn't really have a good one. You know, think about a couple of years. Can think about when at Devontae Freeman's, the peak of his career. He was great.
I just don't think Mike, I don't know, I can't see him having a better year than he did last year, being on a team that he's not going to get as much volume and that's not centered around passing to him 10 to 15 times a game.
I think he will end up getting that much volume because I think that he's the better running. I think he's the best running back on the roster, and they might, I don't know if they know that. They might take some time to figure it out, but I think by a quarter to halfway through the season, he ends up getting the same volume.
Like 12 targets game.
Targets? No.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah. So, I mean, you're taking that away from him. How could he have a better season than he did last year? I think it's a good move for Atlanta. I agree with you. He's kind of underrated. He's a good, solid running back. There's not that many good running backs to pick off this list of that got, signed. I'm going to go over them real quick. And all it really does is hurt running backs that are already existing. Like the Kenyon Drake signing with the Raiders. I mean, yep. Josh Jacobs was like one of the few three down backs that like you can get, and he'll just give you enough produce for you based on volume. That's gone now. Who knows how many touches they're going to get? It could be Drake's 1 week, Josh Jacobs the next week. That sounds like a horrible situation. Who knows?
Agreed.
And then there's the Houston signed a couple of running backs.
God, what? I just want to go on a rant about like what the fuck is Houston doing? Like we're just gathering carcasses of running backs to put on the field.
It's interesting. Like they're one of the few teams that on this list that you sent me that signed three people. And why are people wanting to go play for this organization? This organization is.
I don't think they do. I mean, I don't honestly. I don't know who else was signing Mark Ingram.
Yeah, that too. That was another. I don't know. Like, but those guys aren't going to.
So I understand the Mark Ingram signing there, veteran minimum, yeah, whatever. The Philip Lindsay signing, I do not get it from either side at all. Like, you have
Have David Johnson there too?
And you have Mark Ingram and David Johnson, David Johnson's basically Mark Ingram, but like 3 years younger, in the sense that like they can run between the tackles, they can catch the ball, but they're both past their prime, unfortunately. And unfortunately, David Johnson had one great year, and then that was it. And then Philip Lindsay is just a run between the tackle guy, ground and pound kind of person. I don't know. You know, they lost all their receivers, they lost their quarterback, and they have a bunch of, you know, middling running backs. I have no idea what's going on there.
Yeah, my point exactly. Like, why would you? I mean, I guess Philip Lindsay is more like in the prime of his career. Like, why would you want to? I mean, I guess, you know, he probably got the most money offered or what, but like, I wouldn't want to put myself in that situation with that organization where like, they just let two franchise players pretty much walk. I mean, I don't know.
Whatever is going on in that Texan organization is just disgusting. The fact that to look at where they were, you know, like 3 years ago,
they've been in the playoffs. They're always in the playoffs.
They were the top of their division with a top receiver, not even in the prime of his career yet, a great defense. And they squandered it all. And this isn't even taking into account what's going on with the quarterback situation there right now. We're not even going to touch on that. But, like, it boggles the mind. And then all this stuff is coming out from former Texans players, how, like, they're just not appreciated or treated right. Like, it's terrible. It's just a terrible situation.
Yeah, we spent too much time talking about it.
Fair enough.
Only other running backs that you had mentioned on here were Tevin Coleman to the Jets and Ballage to the Steelers. None of those really get me excited fantasy-wise or football-wise. Right?
What was that?
None of those really get me excited fantasy or football-wise.
Yeah, you know, Tevin Coleman's going to be talked about because he's going into a situation where he could potentially be the lead back, but like, he fell on his face in San Francisco. The Ballage signing, honestly, like, you know, you got a tale of two cities here with his career. You had him in Miami where there was all this potential, people talking him up, and I think his average yards for his whole career there was like -1 yard. But then he goes to the Chargers, and he becomes a flash in the pan fantasy contributor for like 4 games. And all of a sudden he's catching passes and all this kind of stuff. So I feel like the starting gig is up for grabs in Pittsburgh. Like, who is it? Benny Snell?
So Connor's gone too.
Connor is a free agent who hasn't signed anywhere. And I think they made it clear by not re-signing him that they don't want him back. So,
all right.
I think Ballage has a chance. I think he has a chance to make some noise because we know what it's, you know, we know what the Pittsburgh running back has to offer if someone can run away with the job.
Right. And it's going to be a good situation to monitor in the training camps.
Yeah.
I guess this year there's no big name running backs that kind of move teams. So,
nothing major there.
A little bit better, some of the wide receivers that moved around. I think Galladay was probably the most talented one. We kind of mentioned he left Detroit to go to the Giants. What do you think about that move?
I think the jury's out. Obviously, we know what Galladay is capable of, but what I don't know is how what's the name of the quarterback? Daniel Jones. I don't know how good he is at getting the ball to someone consistently. So,
Danny Dimes? Come on now.
We'll see.
I don't know. I think it's going to really show how good Galladay was. I think he was kind of never really, I don't know, respected as a top-tier wide receiver when he's in Detroit. I feel like if he goes to this big city in New York and in the huge market and he kind of dominates, because he dominated some of the games, he was just like,
oh yeah,
unstoppable at times.
From a fantasy perspective, he's very well known. But yes, from an NFL's perspective, he might not be. I mean, who's paying attention to anything that's happening in Detroit?
Right. But I have a feeling like with the exactly with this move to New York, he has a chance to really make a name for himself. But yeah, like you said, we don't know about Danny Dimes. If he can, I think Gallaudet's catch radius helps that out a lot. Like I think he could just throw the ball anywhere near him and he can go up and get it. But
that's true. That's true. He hasn't had anyone really like that in receivers before.
And then Corey Davis to the Jets. Wait, so who's the Jets? Are the Jets just getting a drafting a gonna, quarterback?
They're,
huh?
They're drafting a quarterback.
Yeah.
They're all in on that.
Corey Davis, early, recent, early round draft pick.
I think Corey Davis is cashing in on the best season of his career so far. He'll go back into obscurity next year.
You're breaking up pretty badly.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
I said, I think Corey Davis is cashing in on the best career of or the best season of his career so far, but he'll go back into obscurity now.
Yeah, it's tough. I think the place that he went is not going to help him out at all. We talked a little bit about the Curtis Samuel move to the football team. I think that's a good move for him. And again, like I said, it could be exciting for he's a big play guy for the Redskins. We touched on Marvin Jones. We talked about Detroit, lost there. He's going to find a home in Jacksonville, and I feel like that's kind of a place where wide receivers go to die.
But yeah, potentially. I mean, I don't know who's going to be throwing the ball either. I assume they're drafting a quarterback as well. So I don't think he'll be very relevant this season either.
No. His fantasy days that might be on. Will Fuller moves to Miami, and I'm not too high on this move. Again, Tua wasn't that impressive, and Will Fuller getting busted for his steroid uses in the past. You know, he's not using that anymore. I'm not too high on him. And again, not that great of a situation with Parker taking up all their targets. AJ Green, a name from the past, lining up alongside Hopkins is cool in theory, but I can't see him doing much. Any thoughts on that?
I don't know. You know, we've seen, people late in their careers make changes and have like one or two kind of swan song seasons. I'm not ready to completely poo-poo him. I think I might give him a late round kind of flyer there. I mean, he's in a high flying offense. You know, obviously Kyler Murray kind of slowed down towards the end of the season. I think some little knickknacks kind of caught up with him towards the end. AJ Green had a couple good games. We're also, this was his first season back after like basically two lost seasons.
It'll be interesting. I don't think I would invest too much in him. I think he'll probably be overdrafted because of his name and the age. But yeah, it would be a fun thing. I think it's good for. I mean, the Cardinals are gonna be fun to watch on offense. That's for sure. And then this is one name you left off on here, and it has to do with the Emmanuel Sanders going to Buffalo, which before I talk on that, John Brown leaving and going to the Raiders, I think is a significant free agent move. They got rid of Aguilar, who went to the Patriots, who I think me and you both agree on that anyone on the Patriots passing game is someone that you don't want because you don't know what you expect week to week. But now Aguilar is gone out of the Raiders. Their two picks, Ruggs and Bryant was their name, didn't really pan out last year. So bringing in John Brown, who has kind of been pretty consistent over his career, being productive in Arizona and Buffalo. And now he's got a chance to kind of be the top dog again. Was he on Baltimore before Buffalo too?
Yes, he was.
Yeah, and he had a couple of weeks where he was the number one, and he really thrived in that, and he could be that in Vegas.
He can. The problem is health. Like, he never played 16 games. He missed a whole bunch of games in Buffalo, just like he has it almost in every season, unfortunately. So I think that's the biggest downside. I know that Las Vegas is very bullish on I think Ruggs still. So, but yeah, we'll see. I don't think it's as big as a impact as you as you do, but we'll see.
Yeah, we will. And then you, Watkins to Baltimore, that doesn't really do anything for me.
Yeah, Watkins hasn't done anything. Or, you know,
I mean, he had a couple of big plays in Kansas City, but he doesn't have that offensive firepower to help him break out.
Watkins is name only. I had him. Yeah. Do you think Emmanuel Sanders makes any impact in Buffalo at all or not?
I think Emmanuel Sanders and John Brown are pretty similar, but you alluded to it earlier that John Brown had trouble staying healthy. Emmanuel Sanders has had some injuries in his career, but I think they're more freakish than kind of durability, where John Brown kind of breaks down everywhere. So I do think that he is going to complement Diggs really well, and he should fit in with Josh Allen. I don't know who wouldn't, but Emmanuel Sanders is a nice football player. He can catch anything. I enjoy watching him play football.
Agreed, but I will say he did not, you know, put up nearly the numbers I thought he would in New Orleans this past year. You know,
and I feel like his skill set probably fits better with Josh Allen scrambling around than Drew Brees, who is kind of like, you got two moves to make, and then I'm gonna try to throw it in a tight spot. I could be wrong, but I'm just throwing that out there.
No, it's a great point. You know, if we take it a little bit deeper, you know, like Drew Brees, you know, he spreads the ball around, but he really tends to focus on just on one receiver usually from year after year. So, yeah, we'll see. You know, Emmanuel Sanders, you know, he got traded to San Francisco the season before, and nothing really came. He had a couple games, but not really. But that's a trade midseason. It's hard to get on track halfway through the season. So, he's getting up there in age too. But all right. You may have got me a little more optimistic on what to expect from him in Buffalo.
Yeah, I mean, they have one of the best wide receivers in the game. So his job is to come in there and be kind of a compliment to him, and I think he can do that. He can thrive in that situation.
Speaking of that, did you expect to have the year Stephon Diggs had? I didn't. Did you expect that to happen?
I didn't think he was going to do it that quickly, because it's hard for you to change teams and produce it the way he did. So I definitely didn't. I mean, I never expect anyone to go to a new team and have that type of season. But I knew that he had the ability of doing that, because he's – and paired him with Josh Allen, who's obviously getting better and better every year too.
I mean, I expected, I had no faith in the Buffalo passing game at all this season, and I was dead wrong. I mean, don't forget, they still have Cole Beasley too.
Yeah, 8 catches and 60 yards every week.
Yeah. It's a great PPR player.
Yep. All right, so we ran through all that. That was pretty cool.
Yeah.
So now everyone should know what players on what team now, right?
Yeah, and you know, they should know who we're targeting based on who we like and who we don't.
I want to talk some fantasy basketball.
Yeah, let's do it.
It played out exactly like I thought it would. That
how was that?
I mean, as far as like, you could tell a few weeks ago who was going to make the playoff. Maybe there was one spot open. You could tell, you know, I don't know. It was determined a long time ago who was going to make a playoff based on the way the league was set up.
Fair enough.
But now it's going to come down to me and Joey next week playing for a bye. And then if Costa wins out, which he should, he'll be guaranteed a bye. Because it looks like Joey and I are both losing this week. So that'll get Costa within striking distance. He's got the points. And you and Turb seem pretty locked in that 4-5. Matchup
seems that way. I think there's a way
for Turb to move up with some luck, but it looks like you'll get him in the first round in playoff.
Seems that way. I have to say I have enjoyed the fantasy basketball more than I expected. I do like this point setup more than categories. I remember playing, when we played categories, like, oh God, what was it? It's probably close to 10 years ago now. It was when Russell Westbrook was a rookie. I remember that because he was on my team. Nice. I like the point setup better.
Okay.
I will say that you know, I was all in favor of just a weekly setting lineup at the beginning of the season because I didn't think I would have time to follow. But now, especially this week where players are sitting out with injuries every day for me and it's really affecting my team, I'd be down for switching to a, switching for a daily lineup, I think.
Yeah, and remember, like, the whole be ready for Wednesdays and Fridays. Like, I for some reason, I thought it was going to be you could set daily, and you could just, on Monday, you could hit set your lineup for the week, and it will go through, and it'll make, you know, give you your maximum players allowed. And then if you don't want to change it, you don't have to change it. But if you're struggling, you have a lot of guys injured, you can pick someone up. I don't know. Do you think this league lives on to see a second season?
I think it does. Do I think that all 12 people are going to be in it? No. I think that, let's see, looking through the list right now. Hold on. Let me look. Based off of, I'm on my phone. I'm looking at, I want to see who's done transactions because that will tell me who would do it. So people who I don't expect to do it again, Rossett, Himmel, Fiala, and then the only one I would put on the list maybe is Mitchell. I don't know how much he has been doing stuff, but everyone else has been somewhat active in the league. So
yeah, I definitely, and I want to piggyback off of that. Someone who's been active and is making a charge for the last playoff spot, who possibly might be one of our number one listeners. I don't know, Daniel. Coming from the bottom, hanging out at the bottom all playoff long, working his ass off trying to get up there. You said you were looking up transactions recently, and he was the last one to make one.
Yep.
And he did it at 2 a.m. So he probably could thank Henry for that one, for waking him up. Yep.
Start from the bottom, but, now I'm here.
Yeah, he's got a small chance of making it. But he's got some work left to do, and he's gonna need some help because I think Medi holds his own destiny by winning out, and I think he's winning this week, and he's got a matchup versus Himmel next week or something like that. That's probably gonna guarantee how he gets in.
Yeah.
Daniel and Medi are playing right now, so Daniel needs to come back and win. He's projected about 50 points left.
I will say, with our current setup, anything. Like, I got off to a hot start this week against Turbin. I was projected to beat him by like 150 points. And then all of a sudden, like, three of my players are hurt. And all of a sudden, it's a matchup now. So, yeah, so without being able to make changes, anything can happen. If someone gets hurt or has to sit out a game, all of a sudden it changes everything. So you can't predict anything too early in this circumstance. And it's also out of anybody's control. But I have enjoyed it. I haven't done any research, like looking at articles or anything. I just kind of like my role. Honestly, my strategy has been, I have players that are somewhat productive, and if they get hurt or something happens, I find who the replacement is and I plug them in, and that's kind of been working.
But, really a good strategy. I think with this scoring style, it's best. I mean, my strategy is I just try to make sure I have more games than my opponent. So I look at guys that are on the wire. Like, I have my team's pretty solid. I got two or three guys that I can flip out, you know, that I can drop. And I've ran through them, used them multiple times. But if they're playing four games next week versus a guy that's at the end of my roster that's got three games, I'm going to flip them on it 9 times out of 10.
Yeah, I did start doing that, but then, like, you know, there's some players that, like, for example, I picked up, he's not doing good this week, unfortunately. What's his name? The guy who's taken over for Fournier in Orlando, Okiki.
Oh, the rookie?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, Okiki. Like, before this week, like, he was literally scoring 30 points a game. And this week, he was only going to play three games. And I was like, but I could play him, or I could play Holiday from Indianapolis. And Holiday's been, you know, volatile in the sense that some days he'll put up 12, some days he'll put up 30. And I was like, well, I could just get 30 a game for three games, or, you know, a grab bag for four games.
Yep.
Then of course Okike, you know, laid an egg the first week. So
yeah, but all said and done, though, Costa should win this. He dominated all year, and his team's stacked.
I agree, but how is he losing games? Like, I don't still understand it.
I mean, like, he basically puts up 15 points every week, and the weeks that he doesn't, he just gets unlucky and someone beats him. I mean, I think I beat him the first time I played him, and I think it was early on in the season, and I think both of us scored like in like the 800s. Like, just, it was a fluke.
It's just mind-boggling that he is far and away scoring the most points, and he's in third place.
Yeah, but that's about the. I mean, he's probably gonna end up being first because like me and Joey are both losing this week, and then me and Joey play each other next week. So, well, he's gonna end up in second. So whoever wins that matchup, so he's gonna end up in second place. That's my guess. Yeah, but he's got like 1,700 more points than the next person.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's dominated all year.
But yeah, I have to say I have enjoyed this more. It has made me, you know, I know more players in the NBA than I've known since the days when the Bulls were good. Nice. So it's been exciting. I haven't watched any NBA, but you know, I look at the stats.
You don't even watch football though.
What's that?
I said you don't even watch football.
That is true. Good point. I don't even watch football, but I do a little bit more research and I read articles for that a little bit. It's just easier because it's a once a week kind of thing. So like, you have time to spread it out. This is
it's a part of your week too. It's like, you know, you get your Monday night football and then you got your report and then Thursday night football and then
So I am down for doing this again. I am down for making it. I like to keep the points. I'm down for making it, a daily setup. I think it's not that hard to make changes. Am I going to be as like good as some of the other people who are active in the waiver wire? No. I imagine when you have daily changes, you're like changing, you're dropping and adding players like daily, correct?
Well, you can set like 3 moves per week. So you can't really do it daily.
Okay. All right.
I mean, that's how it's set up now. Is we only have 4 moves per week, but yeah. So it's you have a certain amount of moves each week.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm done to continue it. So cool. It was not nearly as time consuming, as I thought it would be, as far as to be competitive. So.
Well, it's good to know. We'll see if we can.
I mean, it also might change. It might change because we have 12. Teams in this league and like there's not much available on the waiver wire. Like the people that are available are you're just really just filling in for people that get hurt because people on the waiver wire are not consistent by any means.
Right. That's it.
No, I got one more topic.
What's the topic?
I want to talk about the Mortal Kombat movie.
Oh my God. All right,
dude, this is gonna be like, have you seen the trailer?
I have. I did see the trailer.
And what do you think of it?
You
didn't get it.
I mean, I thought it was cool, but at no point was I like, do I want to go see this movie now? I just saw everything I needed to see in the trailer.
No, man, no. Okay, did you play Mortal Kombat?
And I looked it up. I like Googled like Mortal Kombat trailer to watch it. So like I had some interest in seeing it. I saw it and I've moved on with my life.
Really? That doesn't get you excited to see more?
I mean, what more are they going to show? I saw the finish him and all the gory stuff. Like I don't need to hear some made up story that the movie tried to. No.
It's not a made up story.
I'm talking about it. I wanted to talk about it. You talk about it.
No. The scotch is starting to kick in a little bit. I'm starting to slur my words a little bit. So, were you a fan of Mortal Kombat as a God? What were we, teenagers? Not even. We were younger than teenagers. Growing up, were you a fan of Mortal Kombat?
We were teenagers. I played it.
No. But when we first came out, we were in junior high. I guess that's a teenager?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it is a teenager. Yeah. Okay. So, were you a fan of it?
Yes, I played it.
Yeah. I mean, did you watch the movies back when they first came out, the original
movies? I believe so. I feel like I'm like under oath right now, being like prosecuted or something.
Oh, no, this is, you'll know when it's for reals.
Yes, I recall going to the movie.
Yeah. Did you like it? Did you enjoy it? Did you get amped up seeing like your favorite characters on screen fighting?
I remember seeing this clown that was there that was so excited that maybe it was you at the theater that was so excited to kind of like stole the glory from the.
That's not true, because I guarantee you didn't see it at the same theater that I saw it at.
Why? We saw Little Richard. I remember seeing you.
No, man. You know what movie theater I saw it at? The movie theater I saw it at doesn't even exist anymore. The movie theater used. Do you remember that there used to be a movie theater? Do you know where the Portillo's is on Skokie Boulevard across from like the Jewel and Old Navy?
Yeah, I remember that. The Old Orchard theater.
That wasn't. I don't know what was it. It wasn't called Old Orchard. It was a different
one. I think it was. At least that's what I called it. There was like the Old Orchard Mall one, and then the Old Orchard.
Okay, fine. Well, that's I remember. That's where I saw that movie. I remember that.
Cool. Distinctly. Cool. I'm glad you shared that story with us.
The viewers, all three of them, wanted to hear that. not to get too nerdy on it, but there is a whole backstory to a lot of the characters. Like, for example, like, you know, Scorpion and Sub-Zero are like sworn enemies because Sub-Zero thinks that Scorpion killed like his family or something like that. So like they're like mortal enemies, and that is explored. That is going to be explored in this movie. And there's all these backstories to it. There's all these backstories to like the characters and who they are. Just like I was talking about before, like Sonya and Jax are both like, you know, special forces people that get roped into this, you know, Mortal Kombat tournament to protect the realm of Earth from like the evil people of yada yada yada. So from everything I've read on it, it sounds like it is they do a good job honoring that. And on top of it, they bring more of the actual carnage than the previous movies, which you would expect in something called Mortal Kombat, which is based. I mean, the first thing you think of Mortal Kombat are the fatalities. So supposedly it honors that a little bit more. So and from what I saw in the trailer, it definitely looks like it's heading that way. So that's why I'm pumped for it.
When did it come out?
April 23rd.
Wow. Are you going to go see it?
Oh, man. It's on HBO Max.
You're not going to go to the movie theater or get the full experience?
No, man. Even before COVID, I didn't go to the movies in a theater. That's a lot of work.
That's pretty cool, though, at HBO Max. There was another movie that's coming out that...
I mean...
Are they all coming out like that?
No. There's a contract that that some of the movies have with HBO Max. Because it's still going to come out in theaters, too, but it's also coming out on HBO Max. So, for example, like Godzilla versus Kong...
But it's like $30, though, right?
No. You just stream it it's available for 30 days for free, and then it's gone.
Oh.
No, not for free, but like with your
subscription. That new Disney movie that came out, you got to pay a premium for that.
Yeah, that's because Disney Plus was pulling the screw job on people.
Yeah, and people were probably still paying it.
But HBO Max didn't do that, won't do that. So it's available for 30 days. So that's how Space Jam's going to be too.
Oh, cool.
So Space Jam's going to be out on HBO Max as well. I think those are the only movies that I really was like paying attention for.
Mortal Kombat and Space Jam. You are a cultured son of a gun.
Yeah. I mean, you like what you like.
I was hoping your last topic would have been something more interesting.
Well, what? Like what? Tell me about it.
I don't know. You seem to know a very prominent pulmonary doctor that was recently on TV.
I sure did. I was texting this to some of my pulmonary colleagues. We're like, the full disclosure. So in the George Floyd trial, Dr. Martin Tobin was testifying basically to explain the physiology behind the circumstances that what happened with the case. And he is a attending physician at the hospital that I trained at for my fellowship. And anyone who is in the field of pulmonary knows the name because, as I had mentioned on our text story, like he literally wrote the book that's titled Mechanical Ventilation. So he's already a legend in our field. But I think that after what everyone saw today, as far as not only how smart he is, but also how
entertaining he is.
He's entertaining what I meant by that is that I'll get to that in a second, but he's very deliberate in his words. I was actually before we started recording, I was rewatching his testimony, and you could see that there's a lot of times where they ask stuff and he says like, no, I study breathing. And he says it very, when he says breathing, he says it slowly. He says it deliberately because this whole case is centered around what happened with George Floyd in breathing. Now, so he deliberately says that so that the jury is aware and it puts a connection between what he knows and what he's, and the fact that he studies breathing essentially. And not only that, but how I don't say this lightly, like he's the smartest person I've ever met. The smartest person I'm pretty sure I will ever meet and interact with. But the way that he's able to explain concepts that are can be extremely complicated and very difficult to understand if you read them in a textbook. But he explains this stuff in a way that most people can follow exactly what he's saying. That is not easy by any means. There is a specific skill that comes along with it. And so that's why I encourage people to watch what he has to say, because it's a beautiful example of how to explain extremely complicated and difficult concepts in a way that everyone can follow, because he has to explain it that way so the jury can follow. Right. As far as me saying that he was entertaining, that was coming from the sense that if you watch when he's being cross-examined by the defense attorney, defense attorney is really trying to get him to slip up and to mix into, basically like expose himself for contradicting himself. And if you watch it closely, the defense attorney is literally intimidated by him. Like he's stumbling over his words because you cannot get this guy to do it because he is that smart and knows everything, and he knows, and he's very deliberate in what he says. And I can say that from experience because I have rounded with this physician and I was terrified because if you said the wrong words, he'd pick you apart because he's very deliberate in what he says and makes you to be very deliberate in what he says. And not to mention, like, if you watch the very beginning of it, where they're going through like his resume of what he's done in life, he's extremely humble about it too. So, it's like I mentioned before on the group, it is definitely worth a watch as far as just seeing how someone so brilliant is able to relate information to someone who is not a physician, and how humble someone can be, who is by far and away in the top like 0.1% percentile of intelligence in this world. Huh. That's how I truly feel.
That's cool. Very, very interesting. Much more interesting and thought provoking than Mortal Kombat.
Fair enough.
Speaking of, how are the ICUs in Chicago these days for COVID?
So I can only speak for my small ICU. So I was on service 3 weeks ago. We did not have any COVID cases.
Sweet.
But that is not the case right now. And there are some that are, you know, back and on a ventilator, things along those lines. So cases are rising again. You know, we're nowhere near what we used to be, but it's not going away. And
it's not going to, is it?
The thing is, it could. The reason why it's not going away is because people are not getting vaccinated. That's why.
They're choosing not to?
100%. I won't go into too much detail, but there are people in my extended family who are not getting vaccinated.
Oh wow.
So it's out there and that's why you know I made that comment a couple of days ago when I was watching the news, because I was watching my future governor comment as far as like, you know, making someone get vaccinated is like against their rights, yada yada yada, because I you know, you go back a year ago and I truly believe I know that exactly. But you go back to that time, and if a vaccine was available, I really believe 90% of people would have gotten that vaccine. And right now, I think we're probably at 70% of the population of the U.S. who would be willing to get the vaccine. That's what I truly believe. And it's like,
did you... A year ago, this time, did you think that we'd be where we are right now as far as having a vaccine that's available?
No.
How blown away are you by that?
Extremely blown away, because before the development of this vaccine, I believe before that, the quickest a vaccine was developed in our history was somewhere along the line of 5 years. That's how long it took to develop one.
Weren't some of the components of it already been worked on since from the first SARS scare, like in 08 or whatever like that? I heard, I don't know how true, I mean, I don't know where I saw this, but just one of the companies had been working on it for years until this happened, and then they already had like a good baseline to start from. But is that am I just making that up?
I don't know, to tell you the truth. That wouldn't surprise me, but from my understanding, the reason why the vaccine was able to be developed so quickly versus times in the past is because the advances in technology and how we developed it. So it used to be that to develop a vaccine, you would usually take the actual virus and inactivate it biochemically, essentially. So rearranging some sort of the genome so that you would inject it in somebody to cause the immune system to respond, but you wouldn't necessarily get infected with it. You would take away the properties to allow that virus to replicate in your body. And that process took years basically to figure out. Now, cut to today, you know, I'm not gonna begin to pretend like I know exactly how it was engineered, but they're using different technology using mRNA. Basically, mRNA helps do the coding of it as opposed to using the DNA or using the exact RNA, which a virus is usually made up of. So it's basically a component that leads to transcribing what the virus is actually made of. So because of the new technology, instead of taking, you know, months or a year or so to actually develop the vaccine, it took weeks. And so the vaccine was developed relatively quickly, but it was going through all the protocols as far as making it stable, as far as testing the safety of it, that took that extended time. So, no, I did not think we would be where we're at right now at all. I thought we would still be living in either a lockdown situation or in a terrible overrun hospital situation.
Well, thankful that it's neither of those.
Yeah,
and I'm thankful that we have the technology to get where we are today, because I feel like some parts of my life are starting to come back, and it feels great.
Yeah, and it's you know, I don't want to get too to Debbie Downer, but it's, I find it very sad and depressing that we have the ability to fight this off and people still choose not to.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I knew there was going to be people. I just guess I haven't really come across them like in person, you know, like I haven't like heard their reasoning why and whatnot, but I don't know. I choose not to let them.
I mean, it's better that you don't hear their reasoning because it makes no sense. The bottom line. No, I'm not even saying that to be facetious. I'm saying it because there's no reason not to get it. If you base your thought process in science, there's no reason not to get it.
I got mine yesterday. Felt a little out of it today.
What is the first or second dose?
First.
Yeah, which one did you get?
Pfizer.
Nice.
Yeah. Excited to get my second one and then have my life back in a couple weeks after that.
Yeah.
I don't know. I've already started to do some normal. I've been going back to the gym now. Oh, our Beachbody bromance might be over. I'm back in the gym. I'm playing basketball enough now, and I can go to these classes in my gym, and they're outdoors, and yeah, so I don't know if I'll be working out at home much anymore.
I'm still going to keep it. I mean, I haven't been doing it lately because, you know, as I alluded to before, we got on the air that Nyan's been waking up at 4:35, so the workouts have gone by the wayside, but I think I'm going to continue doing workouts at home. We might invest in a Peloton moving forward. So I might have to switch over to Peloton.
Peloton.
I don't like riding a bike, but I might do the
workout
routines on the Peloton.
Right.
But I'm still a big Lift 4 fan. So I still would like to do that. Like I bought these adjustable dumbbells just to do Lift 4. And I still haven't fucking done it yet.
Yeah, I got to do mine with it, but those weights have been sitting and staring at me lately.
I mean, I have found that, at least for my schedule, working out at home is the most efficient time to do it.
Right.
Hopefully once, you know, the kids sleep in again, like I get up before everybody else and get a workout in before the day starts, but we'll see what happens.
All right. Life is unexpected. Yes, it is. It is. Are you going to be at the man dinner?
I don't know yet.
All right. Well, make it happen. It'd be a man dinner going away. Perfect timing, right?
Well, might be a going away situation in the works. I'm still working out the details. So,
let me know those dates sooner rather than later, so I can make sure I can make it.
All right, let's.
We're gonna put it out there now.
Maybe. Hold on. Yes, I will. I will tentatively throw this out there. That Saturday, June 12th, there might be. Something that we plan, because it seems that lots of people are getting vaccinated. It'll be outdoors, I'm tentatively throwing it out there. So for all the two or three listeners that will get this, save the date.
I don't know if I can make that. I think we're going to be in Minneapolis that weekend.
Well, what's more important, you know?
I mean, you just come to the man dinner and we just take care of all one night. It is important. I need to go on vacation with my family.
I know. What's in Minneapolis?
We were just talking about where we can go. It's a driving distance. So we're going to go to Minneapolis and like Duluth area and check out up there.
Minneapolis is gorgeous in the summertime.
Yeah. I mean, beginning of summer, it should be real nice. And I heard good things about Duluth, and they got like a big water park that we might go to and stuff like that.
Very nice.
Yes, it is. But if that falls through, maybe I'll come Saturday, June 12th. Aaron's going away party. Man, that's going to be an epic party.
No, it's not. I mean, you can't.
I mean Dr. Dance is going to show up. Orange Hulk might show up.
No, I mean, this is going to be a daytime kind of thing. It's not going to be epic by any means. So, if it wasn't the circumstances it were, then I would 100% be throwing an epic going away party. But
all right, so we'll see at the Mandanair. We'll turn that one into it.
I'll see. I'll see what I can maneuver for that.
All right, that's a wrap. Maybe after the draft we reconvene, and maybe we can start some conversation about rule changes on the podcast. Maybe, I don't know.
Yeah, man, I'm up for that. I love talking. All right.
I know you do. It's a good thing we have about three people that like to listen.
Hey, you know what? If you got a long commute, this is the perfect thing to listen to.
It is. Joey, I hope you arrive to work safely. That's a wrap.
Peace.
See ya.